Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
A.T.A. Hey, D.A., let me aboard that mothership.
Permission to board that mothership, sir.
Well, you know, I had to slide through the intergalactic swag party.
D.A., man, beam me up.
What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
The guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that
mothership. What's up, D.A., brother?
Mothership has connected.
And you the man, D.A.
America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Space Station Social. D.A. with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. It's a Trash Tuesday. And got to imagine if you reside anywhere in the state of Michigan or are a Lions fan somewhere in the country, you certainly have a reason to do some trashing this morning. Now, it's not just Michiganders that have reasons to control or try to control their frustration today, but we're going to give you an opportunity to vent in a healthy fashion with said trashes. And there's plenty of you guys from over the weekend that I'm sure are feeling sick to your stomach after what you saw on the field. So, on a Trash Tuesday, here's the ways to you get involved in the show. Deliver your trashes via Twitter, DA on CBS. That's my Twitter handle, DA on CBS. I'll read through those over the course of the show. Also, on the old machine that we used to call a telephone, now we just call it the computer in our hand that we tend to scroll through Twitter on. You can call us. Voice. Yes, 855-212-4227. The phone number, 855-212-4227.
Let me explain something to you, Jerry. This over.
Is over.
This over.
This over. Coming up this morning on the show, the Washington Nationals have crept to within one game of the World Series. How did everything change for this franchise? We'll talk about it in about 15 minutes from now. The Panthers are 4-0 minus Cam Newton, and we're 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, and rumors are swirling about Cam on the trade block. Should they? We'll have Kyle Turley, former All-Pro offensive lineman, join us in studio coming up in hour number two. And Ian Eagle from the NFL on CBS is going to drop on by as well. He had Chiefs and Texans, one of the most interesting outcomes of the NFL Sunday. We'll talk about Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and everything in between with Ian coming up here in hour number three.
I am scurvious.
But I want to begin, of course, with last night. And I think it would be disingenuous to not mention, I think it would be irresponsible not to give a tip of the cap to Aaron Rodgers and to the Green Bay Packers. Because most, if not all, games are not decided solely by flags or penalties. There has to be a football game played within there. There are some instances where one penalty does define the entire outcome of the game, but that's not necessarily the case here. For the Lions, they stagnated too often entering the red zone. They settled for 4 field goals on a night you are playing on the road in a hostile environment against one of the best players ever to do it. You are on the road in a game against a Hall of Famer, and you're not converting touchdowns, and instead you're putting a pretty enormous strain on your defense. And Rodgers has had the number of this Lions franchise for as long as we can remember. Rodgers has stuck his hand inside their rib cage and ripped out their beating heart like Temple of Doom time and time again. And he did it again last night. That throw to Lazard was as beautiful. That strike, that dime was as beautiful and as lethal as any throw any quarterback can make in this game. So giving Rodgers opportunities to come down the field to beat you because you have not put the game away is dancing with the devil. Props to the resiliency of Rodgers and of the Packers and of finding ways to win. And Green Bay has turned a corner within his franchise. I think shedding Mike McCarthy and maybe the negativity or the lack of emotion or the resentment that had built up between him and Rodgers or him and the fan base, getting rid of that and bringing in Matt LaFleur has worked. They're 5-1. It's not like this is the first win of the season for Green Bay. Won't be the last. So the Packers have a lot to like, and applause goes to the plays that they made to make it happen, because Rodgers is once again doing this with a very limited weaponry. But all anybody is going to focus on are those botched penalty flags. Those 3 sickening, awful, incorrect penalty flags on the Lions defense. 2 of which, the hands of the face by Trey Flowers, pretty obviously shown on the replays as hands not to the face, hands to the shoulder pad, hands to the neck part of the shoulder pads, not the actual face. And those 2 flags specifically are extremely aggravating because they are avoidable. And those 2 were the wrong calls. And the second one set up the Packers to drain the rest of the clock, kick the, essentially, the extra point, but kick the field goal in walk-off fashion instead of the Lions getting that football back with about 96 seconds to play. It's frustrating as a football fan. It's anger-inducing if you're a Lions fan. It's everywhere, every week. The NFL officials botching something. And there's reasons for it. And we'll dissect those reasons. But if you're waking up today and you're a Lions fan, do you feel like Detroit lost because of the Packers or because of the refs? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
A-Rod shotgun takes the snap. Lots of time. Looking around. Scrambles right. Steps up. Penalty marker down. Throws left side of the end zone. Wide of the mark. I got a feeling they're going to get holding called here in the offensive backfield. Rodgers went down on that play after he let the ball go.
Oh, if it's holding, we're going to move from chip shot to
illegal,
not so much
hands,
chip
hands
shot.
Hands to the face. Defense.
Yes.
Five-yard penalty from the previous spot. First down, Green Bay.
J.K. Scott, the holder. The Packers have never led in this game. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here's the snap. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good. 22.
I actually changed the position of my hand because it was to the chest initially, which is right here. I was doing it all game. I didn't know that was a flag to the chest, so I had to change it to right here. And he called it again.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Packers radio on the call, Trey Flowers after the game. The answer is both. The answer is the Lions were beaten by the Packers and the refs. The refs and the Packers. You cannot separate the two. Because, again, the Lions have blame here for not punching into the end zone, for allowing Rodgers opportunities to come down and do what he's done his entire career. And for the Lions, they did not play the perfect game, even besides those three penalty flags. But the refs absolutely did them in as well. And they were screwed multiple times by the officials. And the issue is these refs are A, reffing scared, because B, the camera works too good. They're getting exposed. If those penalties happened in 1979 instead of 2019, there's not a good enough replay. There's not a tight enough shot. There's not a good enough camera work that would have unfailingly said they got it wrong. But 40 years later, technology's too good. And because of it, because of instant replays, because of challenges, because of social media and 24-hour sports talk, and because of radio networks like this, refs ref scared. And we see it every week. And the problem is, as we attempt to correct putting the security blankets, the emergency exits on mistakes, it gives the refs even more anxiety about making mistakes. And so this just keeps happening. And it'll keep happening. And you know why it's going to keep happening? Because you can't put the genie back into the bottle technologically unless you wipe away instant replay. And number two, because fans won't stop watching. It's not like last night. And we all saw how bad those calls were. Suddenly people go, I'm not watching football on Monday night. There might be a few of you that say, DA, you're wrong. I'm not watching next week. There ain't enough of you. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I'm sorry to make you think that you don't matter. But there's just not enough of you. There's not enough Americans that on a weekly basis say, I'm fed up. The officiating's bad. I'm not watching. We keep going back to the trough. Us pigs keep going back to the trough, and that's the fact. When Barry Sanders, who is arguably the classiest NFL player ever, a guy defined by handing the football gentlemanly to the official after every touchdown, takes to Twitter to trash the officials, you know it's gone bad. You know the officiating is sour. You know it's a problem. If Barry Sanders is angry, it's bad. It goes to show you the status of our confidence in the NFL officials, and yet, all of us, including number 20, Detroit Lions, all-time great, will be back watching Thursday night and beyond. And so for the NFL, they know they can ride this anger out because at the end of the day, what's it really going to change? It's offensive, don't get me wrong. But it's so bad so often, I'm past the point of anger. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hitting us on Twitter, you can do that. DA on CBS on a Trash Tuesday. When we come back, the NLCS is a 3-0 lead by the previous choking Washington Nationals. How did this all change for that franchise? I've got a theory next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
And next time you come here, DA, with your wife, we will go on a double date. We will go to the Town Tavern where you can get good burgers, maybe some shrimp cocktail or something like that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good burgers!
Where you can get good burgers.
Oh, it's a Burger Tuesday around here on the DA show. Trashings are coming your way throughout the morning by hitting us up on Twitter, DA on CBS.
We're my ex-husband.
Or on the phones, Cleet Blakeman, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Sam Darnold, the Jets QB, making his much-anticipated return. The much discussed here on the DA show for a lot of reasons. And Sam Darnold was great. 23-32, 338, two touchdowns. Late interception, not good for him, but he gets the win anyway. A couple of awesome throws, both in and around the pocket. Darnold and the Jets have new life on the season. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Granger.com. The Nationals have changed the narrative of their organization. They are one win away from the World Series. I want to talk about that coming up here in a few moments. But a little reminder that on a Trash Tuesday, you got to tweet at us, DA on CBS is the handle. Also on the phones, as I mentioned, 855-212-4227. And there's full episodes of the DA show. If you miss anything or want to hear it again, simply by going to iTunes, radio.com, or other places podcasts are available. Listen to us on demand whenever you want. You can even go to our website, cbssportsradio.com. Now, our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Scott's in Texas, listening on 1440 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
How we doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man.
Good. What's going on?
I had a thought about this officiating thing. I'm actually official here in Texas. I've been an official for almost 20 years now. And one thing that the guy who was training me 20 years ago told me, he said, you know, if anyone's ever relying on the officials to win a game, they're very rarely going to win a game. And I've found that true through my whole career. And last night, obviously, man, the calls were horrible. But, you know, you have to look at back at, you know, the Lions are dropping that ball in the end zone, and they got to put a little bit back on themselves, I have to say. I'm sorry. But it is what it is, you know?
No doubt. And I thought that Matt Patricia handled this well in the post-game press conference. He did not want to just take a sledgehammer to the officials, even though I'm sure he would want to, but instead own some of that. And I think the Lions have to. Look, do the Lions have a complaint that the officials did them no favors? Absolutely. Do the officials need to be better? Do they have a responsibility to be better? Absolutely. But it is not just on the officials. The Lions left points on the board all night long. Do that against Aaron Rodgers? Well, you know, face the risk of that, which is he's probably going to come back and utilize that to kill you. You've probably given him too much of a rope, and that game could have been out of hand early, but instead the Lions just could never create that true separation that they needed, which probably was going to be two scores, more than two scores. You know, 17 points, maybe they could have survived, but they allowed the Packers to hang around enough because they could not put them away. And at the end of it, the Packers only needed a chip shot field goal because they could not put them away. Officials need to be better, but the Lions have their own part of the blame as well. Brian's next up in South Carolina, listening on 100.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Jay. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing good. Hey, I just wanted to bring up something. I'm a Packer fan, and yeah, those calls were terrible. But the refs actually did do them a favor. And I don't know if you saw this, but when Detroit scored that touchdown, that rushing touchdown, where one ref was saying touchdown, one ref wasn't, okay, the ref that said that wasn't had the best angle. And when they showed the replay, Booger McFarland, they kept on showing up above, but on an angle. Now, when they showed the angle directly on the goal line, you could see that that ball never crossed the plane.
Yeah, it didn't look like it got in.
It did not look like he got in. You know, and as a Packer fan, I'm screaming, you know, why aren't they throwing the red flag? I thought all scoring plays were reviewed, and there was not enough time because, boom, they were on the field calling a play. So there was no time to actually review it.
My guess is that the booth ended up reviewing it anyway, but went with the call on the field because, I mean, I think they would have stopped everything and said you can't play the next play unless, you know, we're pretty confident about it.
Yeah. And, yeah, the officiating was horrible, but they did get a break there.
My one question about that call.
Scoring break.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. On those replays, it did not look like the overhead camera. It did not look like that ball crossed the goal line. I will say one point I noticed about the overhead camera was it's not directly overhead the goal line. That overhead camera is that spider camera that you see slinging in and out on that big cable, those wires over the stadium. So it is basically set behind the play. So the angle of the camera does affect a little bit of what you see there because it's not directly overhead where you would see the ball cross over the goal line if it's just the nose of the goal line. It is set behind the huddle, behind the line of scrimmage. Either way, I agree, the replay did not seem like he got in. But again, that play also is super early. So I think ultimately there is blame to go around on both sides. The Lions have to own some of it. The officials certainly have to own some of it. The Washington Nationals are now up 3-0 in this NLCS, looking for a sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals. And not that the Cardinals are any great team. Not that the Cardinals have been a great team at all this season. And St. Louis is probably pretty lucky even to be here over the course of the year. I think you would probably say the Braves were a better team. But they got by with that crazy game number 4, Yadier Molina's walk-off. They get to game number 5. Foltynewicz completely melts down. The Braves give up a 10 spot in the top half of the first inning, and the NLDS game 5 is over. But even beyond that, the Nationals, doing what they did to get to the playoffs, doing what they did in the wild card, doing what they did to the Dodgers, doing what they did in game number 4 and game number 5, watching the Nats do this and now seize control on this series up 3-0 is crazy. It is totally crazy. Because the only thing we have known over the course of time is that Nationals baseball flames out when it matters most. And that the Nats have no guts and no gumption and no fight. They are a overpaid band of underachievers. And that when it mattered, they were going to gag. And my God, the exact opposite has happened this season.
Here's the 0-2. Swing and a miss. He got him on a changeup. Steven Strasburg fans, a dozen St. Louis Cardinals over 7 innings. How about that, Steven Strasburg? What a performance. On pitch number 117.
We've been playing playoff games since then. You know, we had to play really good to come back and do the things we've done. And now, you know, at September, they believed that they can do this. And they're going out there and they're not taking anything for granted. And they're playing really hard and they're playing to win one game every day.
That was Nationals radio on the call. That was Dave Martinez after last night's win. That is 5 straight victories for the Nats. And I think what he just hit on there is the difference. I think that they, throughout all of those years of winning the National League East and then bagging out in the divisional round, they never played playoff baseball until the playoffs. They had cruised to all of those division titles. They had wrapped them up early. And then they got into the playoffs and suddenly said, oh, this is a little different, isn't it? It's a lot different. And this year, because the Braves won the division and because the Nats had to come back from down 12 games under early in the season, they were playing playoff baseball for the majority of the year. And they got into a one-game wild card. They had to figure out a way to win that one game. That was a playoff game of the ultimate proportions. You don't have the rest of the series to figure it out. You've got to get it done. And you get to the Dodgers, who everybody expects is going to be a powerhouse and should have been, and you lose that opening game to the Dodgers and get shut out. Guess what? There might not be much more of a series if you don't get game number two. They had to win game number two, and they did. And once they were down 2-1 against the Dodgers, they had to win both of those games, game four and game number five. And so they've been playing must-win, win-or-go-home baseball for a long time, and that's so different than the way the Nationals have entered the postseason in all of those other years. Do I think there's a correlation between Bryce Harper no longer being there and this? Yeah. Yes, I do. Which seems crazy because Bryce Harper would be definitely a great addition to that lineup. But Harper was not a guy that, when it mattered most in the postseason in October, could demand more out of his guys, could rally the guys and say, follow me. He was not either old enough, mature enough, or have that type of persona to do so. And baseball's not necessarily a game of a quarterback coming in and saying, follow me. But there is something to this. And I think once Harper left, maybe some of the expectations dissipated. Maybe it made it easier for the Nationals. Maybe now going into the playoffs, it was a little bit different as a dynamic. But one thing that is obvious is that by playing playoff baseball for the final 2 months of the season, right to the very end, and now into October, it has made them a different franchise, and they're going to the World Series. Can you freaking believe it? The Nationals, gag artist. And how crazy is it that this happened to the Capitals 2 years ago? The Washington Capitals were the ultimate overpaid underachievers. Great regular seasons, gag in the playoffs, year after year after year. Ovechkin and company were gag artists and then finally figured it out in one glorious ride of the Stanley Cup. The same exact thing seems to be happening against with the Nationals. Same city. Two gag artist franchises figured it out. When we come back here on the show, we'll get to your trashes at 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Time to square up and knock it out of the park on a Trash Tuesday. Take out your frustrations next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24-7.
I have no real will towards Damon Amendola.
Joe, I love you.
Damon. All the love, Damon.
All the love.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, how long you been on the air, D.A.?
42 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The Dosh Show each and every morning, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. And oh, by the way, there are so many ways you can listen to the show even beyond CBS Sports Radio. All these awesome affiliates carrying us on a daily basis. But if your local affiliate does not carry the full three, you can always listen to us on SiriusXM Channel 206 or for free on your phone. Just download the CBS Sports app to get your news and sports every single day, and then you can listen to the show on that or radio.com app. That's free as well. Or you can listen to us on Apple Music, or you can simply watch us for free at watchda.com. I can't wait to get to the trashes because I don't know about you, but the last week and a half or so has felt very trash-worthy. I just think there might be something in the cosmos right now that's just causing a lot of animosity or things to go awry or things to break. I don't know about you. I just feel like there's a lot of things electronically that are breaking or not working correctly, maybe things at work. I just think that this has been a very specifically trash-worthy last week and a half. And so if you have something to trash, which I'm sure you do, dial me up at 855-212-4227 or hit me on Twitter, DA on CBS. Ken is next up in Baltimore. He's listening on 1300 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, DA, how you doing? Good, buddy.
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm fine, buddy. I'm going to have to disagree with you and I think you either had a guest or a caller because I was listening late.
Okay.
I wanted to ask the question. When a ball player plays a sport, do you think he makes mistakes on purpose?
Of course not.
Okay. So if a referee is there to regulate the game, how can anyone say, well, the player should have made that play?
I'm not sure I follow. What do you mean?
In other words, people say that the refs don't take games from you because maybe the player should have made that play, or he shouldn't have fumbled that ball, or he shouldn't have dropped that ball. You follow what I'm saying?
I think. So you're saying last night's game you can't blame on the officials?
No, last night you do blame it on officials.
Ah, okay.
Okay, you do blame it on officials because somebody would say, well, you have to take the game out of the officials' hands. How is it possible to do that? How do you take a game out of the officials' hands?
Okay, so let's just say that for the four times that the Lions settled for field goals, those were four touchdowns. And so thus, you have a 28-point output instead of the 12-point effort. So then that basically is what I think people are talking about, that the Packers wouldn't have the opportunity to come back and kick the game-winning field goal there.
Okay, that's play calling, but still, the referee is there to regulate a game, and the other team did not commit a penalty, which kept their team from possibly winning the game.
Look,
You're
losing me because the officials didn't deny the Lions scoring touchdowns. They got three really bad calls on the Lions defense, which extended the Packers' drives, but they didn't take points off the board from the Lions.
So what I'm saying is, let's say they didn't make those calls because they were bad calls. I think we all agree with that.
Yeah.
Do you think Detroit would have won that game?
I don't know. I mean, I think that plays have to be made after that. I think that those calls specifically are really bad and should have been better and should have been correct, and that the Lions deserve that much, Lions fans deserve that much, and the NFL deserves officials to be correct. If those calls are made correctly, yeah, we can go down the road and say that the Lions would win, but I think what we're saying the other side is that if the Lions do better on other plays that aren't flagged, they could also win.
We understand that, but sometimes they can't. It could be a bad decision. It could be somebody making an error. But
that's still the Lions' responsibility, making a bad play or making an error. That's still their responsibility, okay? I see your point, and your point is that if it comes down to those officials and those officials make the wrong calls, incorrect calls, they can decide the game. And I largely agree. I don't think last night's game, though, is defined only by those penalties. Those penalty flags are incorrect. I don't think last night's game is defined only by those penalty flags. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Time for Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Andrew Bogish, we're gonna lead off with you this morning.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, I want you to lead off on Trash Tuesday.
Well, I'm gonna gamble. I'm gonna trash our fine little company here, DA. In particular, our good friends in the IT / engineering department.
Okay.
Now, I'll spare you the details.
Yeah.
Not on this show, but we are in a recurring battle with a particular technical issue that we've been trying to solve for months now.
Okay.
We have gone back and forth with our friends in IT. They have suggested a number of things that I am doing wrong to lead to this situation, none of which have solved the situation after I made adjustments, also ignoring the fact that the system that's been in place has been in place for probably 2 years and only recently has an issue arisen. So I feel like the way I'm doing things is not the problem. But that's what we keep being told. And now we've got radio silence, even though the problem persist.
I think we can get into some detail here. You, as well as the rest of all employees here, have been asked to take an online course.
It has nothing to do with that.
Oh, we're
That one's too serious to mention.
Oh, okay.
This is a particular computer on which I do updates on a local station in New York. Somehow freezes consistently in the middle of an update where I go to play a soundbite, I hit the button, nothing happens, then I sound like an idiot.
Sure.
Because it's just silence. So we've gone back and forth on a number of different things that, again, I was doing wrong to lead to this. I fixed it. The problem still happens. And I'm just, I guess this is a general IT trash. It's never the equipment, right? It's always human error.
A carpenter never blames his tools.
But you can blame the bogus, and I'm insulted by that.
Okay, trash them.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Sam Rubinoff stepping in for Mraz today as executive producer. Sammy Rubes, Diaper D'Alien, who are you trashing?
So, you know when you're on a train, on a plane, you've got your tray table out, and you're doing some work on your computer. So, I'm working this morning on my computer, and a guy comes on
a plane? Wow.
Well, I was on the train this morning on the way here. I was on the train.
Okay.
And, what train with a table?
An Amtrak train.
Where are you coming from?
From Philly.
That's unfortunate.
He's come from Boston every single day.
To be Sean Mraz, you're coming from Philadelphia?
All right, well, that's another story for another day. So it's when the person sees your tray tables out, they make eye contact with you, they sit in the chair in front of you, and then they don't give you like a slow lean back. They go full throttle, lean all the way back, crush your computer, and pretty much blow it to smithereens if they don't care. It's not my computer.
Yeah.
So I'm trashing the guy this morning who leaned all the way back to crush my computer.
Trash up.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
No warning, just flying backwards into your laptop. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I'm trashing people that ruin good things, new things. Let's start the train service in our area. Rolled out 12 new trains.
Oh.
And it was, first time I got on this train yesterday, and it was nice. It was beautiful.
The city is now officially bankrupt after those 12 trains.
Correct. It's all coming out of the taxes. But I got on this train. It's all nice. Everyone's sitting down. It's comfortable. It's like that new train smell. And then
we all know that smell. The old new train smell.
The homeless bathroom smell.
But then I get up to leave the train, and somebody already spills beer all over the floor.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not here to applaud the MTA, but you know what? At least give it a chance and at least clean up after yourself. I'm tired of people messing up new things. Get them out.
You've been trashed.
IT, get on that.
That's exactly what you were talking about. I had the travel day from hell on Friday. I was heading down to Clemson, South Carolina. I had a flight at 2:30 after the show. Going to head over to Newark Airport, fly down there, land at about 4:30, and then have the entire night ready in South Carolina for a little smoking pig barbecue, some drinks, getting ready for the game day the next day. At 11:55 a.m., as we sign off Eastern time here on the show, I have an email come across my phone. Your flight has been canceled. Canceled? Ooh. Whoa, that's a biggie. Not delayed, canceled? That's the first I'm hearing of this. Not a weather concern. Oh, no. Mechanical. I say, you got to be kidding me. Get on the phone with the airline. Yeah, sorry, nothing we could do. It was coming up from Charlotte. We've got you booked, though, tomorrow. Tomorrow? Oh, no, tomorrow doesn't work. Tomorrow is the game I'm going to. So you got to get me on a different flight. There is approximately 12 different flights leaving one of the three New York airports on Friday to get down to Charlotte. They can't get me on any one of them. Either they don't know how to, they can't figure it out, there's no chairs, there's no seat, there's no nothing. I go, you got to do better than this. Me and the dessert coordinator, Brad Heller, decide, let's just get in the car and start driving to one of the airports, because at this point in time, they are not helping us. We say, okay, we'll figure this out online ourselves. We see a few flights that might work, might not, call them back. Sorry, your wait time is 60 minutes. Now we gotta wait an hour for them to call us back. They're so overloaded. We finally just start driving towards LaGuardia because there's a couple of flights that we should be able to get onto. We see availability online. Finally, they call us back 60 minutes later. We say, we want on this flight. They go, there's only one seat left. No, the website says there's 9 seats left. Well, you can't book those. Well, Why? What's the difference? Why can't you? No, if you tried to do it, it just wouldn't work. I said, if I tried to book it, it wouldn't work? That's, again, a you problem. After all of this, they finally figure us out to get on a flight out that night. We sit in the terminal and the tarmac and don't actually take off until 7:30 at night, to which case my entire Friday night is ruined anyway, and only because I did all of the work to get on that flight. So there was no smoking pig, and for that, I will resent this airline company for the rest of days.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
When we come back, we'll get into your trashes. Plus, should the Panthers trade Cam Newton? That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.